Hello, everybody. Today's episode is brought to you by Audible. Get your free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial over at www.audibletrial.com/cinemarecall. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. So sign up today and get your free audio download book. Again, that site is audibletrial.com/cinemarecall. Now, enjoy the show.
This podcast is a proud member of the That Moment In Podcast Network. Check out the network at thatmomentin.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. I'm your host, The Vern, and this is part two of my recap of flicks I saw over at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Film Festival. I saw a lot of great flicks. A big shout out to the Minneapolis Film Society for giving me a pass. Greatly appreciate it. Not only did I see great features, but also attended a lot of great panels. There was this really cool virtual reality display called The Tree, and this is cool, alright? Now, in this display, you start off as a seed, and it's a seed that grows out to be a tree, and it's virtual reality, so when you move your arms, your branches move too. And while I was playing it, like, birds were flying around, and then I was able to move my arm out, and I caught a bird on my branch, which is cool, and it just kind of sat there and stayed there for a little bit, and then it flew off. And what made this thing stand out more than any other virtual reality unit is the fact that the incorporated scent into it. So while you are a seed, you can smell the dirt. And then as you grow out to be a tree, you can smell the grass and the leaves of the trees and the wind. And near the end, a forest fire happens. But you see it off in the distance and you can just smell a faint sign of smoke, and as it goes bigger, the smoke smell becomes stronger and stronger until it engulfs you, and not to mention too that there's like a vibrating pack on you so you can actually feel things around you. It was actually incredible, and you can find that all out if you go to the site treeofficial.com. Yeah, definitely, if you get a chance to check it out in your area, really do. I am super excited about what this will do for the entertainment field, especially movies. Can you imagine watching Terminator 2, all right? And just feeling all the action and all the scents and everything like that, too. This could be really cool. Or it could be really just disturbing if you're watching a horror film, all right? So anyways, let's get into our features right now. I should let you folks know, too, that I didn't get a chance to watch all the features that I previewed in my article when I previewed the films that I was going to see because there was a huge snowstorm in my area. And so a lot of the features I just plumb well forgot to see. And so for that, I apologize. And there may be one or two features on here that I review that I haven't actually done a written review for it yet, but it'll come. I promise you, it'll come. So let's do this right now. Let's take a small break. We'll play some ads from some other great podcast shows, and then I'll be back with my reviews, all right? Stay tuned.
We'll return after these messages.
Hello, everyone. This is JD from the In Session Film Podcast. Each week, we review
the latest from Hollywood, California.
Well, yes, Brendan. We also
give top three lists.
Okay, yeah. Thanks again, Brendan. Additionally, you can hear us
talk other movie news, trailers, varying movie series, or other interesting film-related topics, and even rants and raves of the week.
That's correct, Brendan. On top of our main show, every Friday,
you can also hear our extra film podcasts.
Good job, Brendan.
Thank you, JD. It's my goal to make you proud. You're the father, after all.
Yes, and I'm very proud. You can listen to the In Session Film Podcast on
iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, or at InSessionFilm.com.
Brendan, will you please let me complete just one?
Nope.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
Listen to the In Session Film Podcast every Monday and Friday. Subscribe today and hear me verbally beat JD like a Cherokee drum.
No. That's not how this works, sir.
Hey, go cry at Midnight Special again, okay? That's what you're good for.
I will. You know what? And I'll do it while pummeling you. I'll do both at the same time.
How are you going to pummel me? Yeah,
I don't buy it. That's just how it works.
This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
If you like intelligent and smart movie discussion,
Base is a zombie movie.
How did he write a book if he doesn't have an arm?
Or want to hear the latest news on your favorite actor?
Talk some Julianne Moore, I guess.
Whales have more films than Zoe Saldana.
Then check out The Lambcast, where no question is too risque.
Rachel, do you have a mouth?
Check out The Lambcast, the official podcast of The Lamb, the large association of movie blogs, which can be found at largeassmovieblogs.blogspot.com. Si habla español.
Hola y bienvenido a la...
This is the Cinema Recall Podcast over at thatmomentin.com. Thank you very much for sticking around and listening to those ads. Those are some really great, awesome podcasts, and I'm not just saying that. Trust me, they're not paying me to say this. Those are really great shows. I love them dearly. Listen to them, all right? So let's get going with our features. The next feature that we are going to be discussing about is a documentary I saw called Silicon Soul.
This would be the love of my life, Shidore.
I just held her at night and talked to her, and we got through that whole thing together. And I was really scared, and Marina got me through.
They develop full-fledged relationships.
I use the dolls just as a replacement for friendships that I wish I had.
She's going to get a whole new body because her silicone is just at its life expectancy end. They say 10 years is all you'll get out of a tin-based silicone.
There's a lot of things that weren't traditional like 50, 60 years ago that are commonplace now. So I think it's just a matter of time before people say, okay, well, maybe this whole synthetic option that he keeps going on about is something that I should look into.
It is weird, but it's good weird. Weird doesn't necessarily mean bad.
Are we losing our ability to interact with other humans and just going for what's easy and what's in our control?
This was directed by Melody Dilbert, and the premise of Silicon Soul, it's about real dolls and the men that have relationships with them, like real relationships. I'm reminded of the movie Lars and the Real Girl, where Ryan Gosling brings home a real doll and everyone in the community has to pretend that it's a real woman. And this is like that, but for real. It shows two men, and these are guys who don't just use these real dolls for sexual pleasure. No, they actually treat them as real people. And they'll go out in public and announce that this is their wife and their girlfriends. And many people in the community are for it and they buy into it. And a lot of people are not. I guess my biggest issue with this movie is that if you're going to take a movie with such a kind of controversial subject matter, I wish that it would have both an equal amount of negative response to this relationship as positive amount. And this movie mainly just focuses on the positive. And they do have an interview with the psychiatrist who tries to explain that these gentlemen know that these are real dolls, so therefore they're not crazy. But there's, in my mind, I think there's still somewhat of psychological damage going on there, because they are talking to these the way that you would talk to a real person, and they're putting their own personalities on these dolls. Now, when AI technology becomes bigger and these dolls can speak for themselves, then we'll have another discussion about the subject. But right now, these gentlemen who are dating these sex dolls, they're basically projecting their own thoughts and feelings about what they think of women on these dolls, and I think that's still kind of damaging. And I really wish that this documentary interviewed other psychiatrists who were against this instead of just one that was for this. I mean, the gentlemen that are on screen, they are nice, all right? But I really wouldn't want to spend any more than, like, 20 minutes in the room with them, because there is something definitely a little creepy about someone that treats this inanimate object as, like, a real person. It would be like me holding up a iPhone that's turned off and be like, well, this is my girlfriend, and I love her, and I care for her. So, yeah, that was my only big complaint about this movie. I think I did this one, I think it was like a 2 stars, maybe 2.5 stars out of 5. And I would have given it a lot more. Maybe I did this one a 3. I probably did this one a 3. I would have probably given this one a higher score if it actually did try to address those subjects and have different opinions from people, because I think the topic is fascinating. There is a scene where they use like these real babies for to help people with Alzheimer's patients, and that was really cool. But the whole thing of trying to use any type of like these real dolls or whatnot as like your real life girlfriend, can't get into that. I'm totally fine if people want to buy a real doll and have sex with it. That's fine. That's a privacy of your own home. I don't care. But if you're going to tell me that this real girl is your girlfriend, I can do it. All right? No. So yeah, that was Silicone Soul. Very fascinating topic. I think that's something that will probably be revisited once AI technology comes into place. But moving on right now, we've got the rest of the show to do. This one I'm going to be reviewing is called Disobedience. Here's a small trailer. I'll be back.
Your wife, she won't be distracted by Ronnie's return?
It's insane that you're here. Do you still only fancy women? We need to stop this. I think you should leave him.
I'd do anything for you. Do you know that?
I want you to give me my freedom. To take your picture.
So, Disobedience starred Rachel Weisz and Rachel McAdams and Alessandro Nivola. Sorry, I'm bad with names there. It was written and directed by Sebastian Lelo. His last feature, A Fantastic Woman, won the Academy Award for Best Foreign Film. I think this is his first like English language movie that he did. The story about Disobedience, it's set in this very religious Jewish community. Rachel Weisz plays this woman who has been banished from the community. She comes back after the death of her father, and she rekindles a relationship that she had with Rachel McAdams' character. They start to become more emotionally and physically involved, and her husband finds out about it and gets upset about it. That's really it. There really wasn't much drama going on in this. I mean, you got the whole notion of this very religious community. If they are found out about it, though, that can destroy things for them. Rachel McAdams plays a successful teacher. She's married. And once the husband finds out about the affair that Rachel McAdams is having with Rachel Weisz's character, I felt like there could have been something more to that. There could have been more weight. There's one scene where he argues with Rachel McAdams, Alessandro Nivola. I don't remember his name. I just know he was the brother of Nicolas Cage in Face Off. I really just kind of wanted there to be more weight, and then everything just wrapped up really easily. Like in the third act, in the last like probably not even like 15-20 minutes, everything is like, oh, okay, problem solved. Yep, that's it. Nope, everything's fine. It does have very gorgeous cinematography. The acting is good. I found it kind of weird though that during their like set scenes, they kept their tops on, but like during like a random shower scene, they're topless. That's really odd. But it's a fine movie. It's not one I'll watch again. If I had to give this any type of review or score, I'm going to give it, boy, a very low, like, 3 stars. It's fine. I think you can enjoy it. It's beautiful to look at, but there's really not much going on in terms of, like, storyline for this one there. Maybe 3.5 stars because it does have really kind of good music and it does have nice cinematography. Yeah, I'm gonna give this one there probably around that 3 stars. It's very average. Nothing much more to say about it than that. All right, our next feature is called Killing Jesus, and it's a revenge drama. It's written and directed by Laura Mora Ortega, and it's about this young girl named Paula. She's played by Natasha Jaramillo, and, you know, she's your standard 17-year-old girl. You know, she likes to go out and have fun with her friends, and, yeah, she does some drinking, and she smokes weed, but all in all, she's a good girl, wants to go to school to study photography. And then one night, while driving home from school, her dad is unexpectedly shot and murdered. Now, this just destroys her world, alright? And she becomes more unhinged when the cops don't seem to be doing anything about the investigation. So she says, you know, I'm gonna try and find out who this person is and kill him myself. She finds the person that did shoot her father. That is person is played by Giovanni Rodriguez. He plays the role of Jesus. She starts to, you know, become friends with him a little bit, flirt with him a little bit to get closer in times to kill him. Now, I love the performance in this movie. I do. I think both the leads here are really good and they're really effective. The only thing that kind of threw me off about this movie was the character of Paula, because she seems to go back and forth between being just full of rage and anger to being very scared. Now, this may have to do with the fact that she is a young girl, and a lot of young girls at that time, you know, they go through a lot of, like, mood swings or so. I don't know. I've never been a teenage girl before, so, but I'm just kind of assuming that. But it just seems to go a little bit too back and forth. You know, at one point, she's like, I'm gonna kill this guy. And then the other moment, she's like, well, but he's got a mom and a family, and I feel kind of sorry for him, to, oh, rage and stuff. So I felt that was a little bit off. And filmmakers, please, put some of your budget towards buying a tripod, okay? Because I'm sick and tired of having all these shaky camera moments in movies like this, all right? I'm just tired of it. Just I understand that you need some handheld shots, but there are moments in this you could easily just use a tripod and shot the sequences in this. I think it's good. The big, huge, dramatic moment in this, I think, comes a little bit too late. Gosh, this movie is like over 2 hours long, and I think it could easily been whittled down to, well, no, it is about 90 minutes, but it feels like it's 2 hours long, all right? I feel like you could still cut out a little bit more, like 10 minutes of this movie, instead of making 1 hour and 35 minutes, make it about 1 hour and 20 minutes. So, yeah, I'm going to give Killing Jesus probably 3.5 stars, because the performances are really good. And it's a good revenge thriller, but I just didn't feel much of the rage going on with her. And yes, it does have a kind of a good ending to it, though. It's the ending I would expect to see from a movie like this. If this is going to be a revenge thriller, I just, if you're going to be in that mode of revenge, just stay on that. And then maybe slowly, you know, let her, like, whittle down a little bit. Like, I would like this movie a lot better if she was full of rage and want to kill this guy, but then something happens, she's not able to do it, but still have that rage there. And then as the movie progresses, then maybe have her slowly kind of like see this guy's humanity and realize that what she's doing is wrong, something like that. But yeah, I'm going to do this one 3.5 stars, so that's Killing Jesus. All right, well, my last feature that I'm going to be reviewing is one called Smitten. Now, Smitten is a new feature written and directed by Barry Morrow. You may recognize him best as being the screenwriter of the 1988 Best Picture Rain Man, the one that starred Dustin Hoffman and Tom Cruise. And the movie Smitten is very much a different departure from that movie. This is very much a lighthearted comedy fable The Story of Smitten, it's about this fashion executive played by Darren Criss, who was in Glee and The Assassination of Giovanni Versace. But anyways, he plays this ad executive who goes to Milan to promote this new fashion line from his father, played by James Remar. And while there, he's kidnapped by these mafia members, and they're trying to find a place to stay for the night. They find this village. They stay the night in this cottage, but the cottage is haunted. It's not haunted, it's cursed. Whoever stays in that cottage, whenever they wake up, the first person or thing they see, they will fall in love with that person or thing. So our three bumbling kidnappers, one of them falls in love with the village ugly woman. The other guy falls in love with this, like, hunky woodcutter. And then the third guy comically falls in love with a cow. Oh, and then, of course, our main guy, he, of course, has to fall in love with the most beautiful woman in the village. It's a very harmless movie because the story is stuff you've seen before. The rich, successful guy, he learns the value of true love and that you can't buy happiness.
The poor but unbelievably beautiful woman,
she learns and returns that you can actually love yourself. It's a harmless movie. I think all the performance in this is really good. It's just probably not my type of movie that I like to watch, and that's not fault of the movies. That's just my own personal preference. But yeah, there were a lot of people in the screen in there that really enjoyed this, and I gotta give it this one probably 3 stars because everything's really good. It's everything just wrapped up nice and easily. Yeah, this is a story that your grandma will enjoy watching. She'll really enjoy watching this. It's a nice heartwarming fable. It's not too heavy on the drama. The comedy is light and sparse. It's like non-offensive. Yeah, this is a movie that will just kind of appeal to the masses right there. And that's a good thing. Especially if you make a movie as heavy as Rain Man that has got like really heavy drama, it's nice to do something light. I compare this to Francis Ford Coppola making Apocalypse Now and then doing a movie like Jack. Alright, I know a lot of people are kind of just on Jack, like, Jack, what? You made Apocalypse Now, how did you do a movie like Jack? And I basically say this because you gotta do something light in your career. Plus, if you're a filmmaker, writer, you want to do a movie that your family can watch. And so I'm sure Barry Morrow had really good reasons for wanting to create this late fable. But yeah, it's 3 stars. Didn't hate my time watching this one, but it's just probably my own personal taste, not my cup of tea. But I'm sure a lot of people out there will probably enjoy a lot of it. In fact, let's do this right now, folks. Let's take another small break. We'll play an ad, and then I will play you my interview with the director, Barry Morrow, okay? Stay tuned.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, everybody. My name is Damian from the Damian Riley Podcast. On each episode, I give you a short review of a movie that you know and love, or one you're not quite sure about, all in 5 minutes or less. You can listen to me on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Podomatic, iTunes, my website, thedamianrileypodcast.com, and most places where you can find podcasts. Be sure to follow me on Twitter. My handle there is thedrpodcast, and Facebook by the show's name. Also, my RSS feed is thedamianrileypodcast.com/feed/podcast. Thanks for listening, and as Roger Ebert used to say, I'll see you at the movies.
About to witness history in the making.
Hi there, this is Todd from Forgotten Films, and if you spend all your time watching new releases, then you need to broaden your movie horizons. And a great way to do that is by joining me for the Forgotten Filmcast. We don't talk about the new releases, we don't even talk about the classics. We talk about the movies that time forgot. On each episode, I'm joined by another film blogger to discuss a film that may or may not be worth rediscovering. So look for the Forgotten Filmcast on iTunes, Podomatic, and wherever you find great podcasts.
Welcome back, everyone, here to the Cinema Recall Podcast over at ThatMomentIn.com. Joining me right now, we have with us the Academy Award writer and director of this movie that we just saw called Smitten, Mr. Barry Morrow. Thank you so much, sir, for being here on the show.
Well, the Vern,
yes,
thank
sir.
You for having me.
Very, very happy.
I'm privileged to be here.
Yes.
Back home in my native state.
That's right. You are from Minnesota.
And my almost native city. I was born in Austin.
Okay.
And then was sort of reared in St. Paul and then went to high school in Minneapolis. So.
Yeah. Now, for our listeners out there, most of our younger listeners out there, Barry Morrow was the writer of the Academy Award winning Best Picture of 1988, Rain Man, one of our best screenplay. Very honored for you to be here. His new movie is called Smitten. Now, this is the first movie that you actually directed.
Well,
first feature.
Yes, feature film. I did direct some documentaries early on in my career. In fact, here in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
The river right behind here was the subject of a documentary I did on Nicollet Island in 1972.
Oh.
So, but yes, I've been principally a writer and producer for all of these years.
Sure.
And here at my advanced age of, I'm not going to say, well, I will. At 67,
still young.
I decided to direct a picture.
Now, why did it take so long for you to want to direct a picture? Because I figured after like the success of Rain Man, that people were probably knocking down your door and say, hey, you wanted to direct something else here? I mean, and what was it about this particular picture, Smitten, that made you want to direct it?
Well, you're right. After Rain Man, I did have opportunities, but I also had two young children at home and a wife, and I wanted to keep them all. And I've seen what had happened to many of my friends who, you know, decided to take the plunge in directing, and you're off for a year, sometimes two or three.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to keep a family intact, you've got to make a decision.
Sure.
Is directing more important? And I just said, you know, someday I'll direct a picture if the opportunity's right. I'm content to stay at home and write. And that's what I did.
Well, very cool. So tell our listeners just a little bit about Smitten. I read the synopsis of it, and it looks like one of the stories where it keeps building on. There's a guy as a photographer. He gets kidnapped. But maybe you could just tell our listeners a little bit more.
Well, it's a fable. It's a romantic fable. It's comedic. It's very different. If you're expecting Rain Man, this is not it.
Okay, all right.
This is a real departure from my almost 40 years of writing drama. And I wanted to, first of all, prove to myself that I could write comedy, I could write something light. But more than that, it's, you know, you live long enough, you learn certain life lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned is the only thing that matters at the end is love.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I want to write a movie that celebrates love. And I found an obituary column written in Italian in Italy about a woman who, when she died, she left an amount of money to a little village where she had made love with her boyfriend on one evening before he went off to World War I.
Mm-hmm.
He never returned. She didn't marry. That was the love of her life. And when she died, she left a small fortune to this little village that every year they would have a festival of love.
Really?
To honor, you know, her memory. Well, what happened was she died, she left the money, and the lawyer ran away with all of it.
Oh, geez.
So the village was very disappointed, heartbroken. In fact, in my story, a spell descends upon this place.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea is to unleash this love spell back. And what we have are three bumbling mafiosa who have kidnapped a young American, Darren Criss, taken him to a hideout, but they get lost and end up sleeping in this cottage that has now a curse upon it. Upon awakening, each of the four men fall in love with the first living soul to meet their eyes, and hence begins this madcap comedy of chasing love.
Now, it kind of sounds to me like the synopsis and premise of this, it reminds me a lot of A Midsummer's Night Dream.
There are similarities.
But I just want to know, like, what other kind of influences did you have with this story right there? Did you?
Well, I actually tried out for a play, I think it was in Hawaii, to be cast in Midsummer Night's Dream. Didn't get it.
Oh.
So here I am 50 years later getting my revenge.
That's right. Nice.
Yeah. And so, look, where, if you're going to make a movie about love, where are you going to make it? In Italy.
Okay, of course, right? Yes.
The land of romance. Well, we filmed in northern Italy, so it looks very different from the common perception of what Italy looks like. It's alpine. It's like Sound of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a little 500-year-old village that we found, and that's where we shot the bulk of the film.
Yeah.
And it's magical. The film has magical realism elements to it. But it's all in a pursuit of love with this idea behind it, that everybody needs love and everybody deserves love. But it's tough to get and it's hard to hold on to.
It's tough, too. Let's go over here now. Your cast is mostly, like, unknowns right there.
Unknowns here. In Europe, they're
probably huge. Yeah. Well, I mean, how did you find your cast? Your two main leads. Your three leads.
The three leads would be, well, the two Americans, which is Darren Criss, famed of Glee, Broadway, and now this recent, the assassination of Giorgio Versace series on FX.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He played the psychopathic killer,
mm-hmm.
and in Smitten, he plays the hero.
Nice.
And Madalena Ganea, the female lead, is a absolutely stunning
mm-hmm.
young Sophia Loren. She left her native Romania at the age of 14, went to Milan, and became a supermodel. And she still is. And she was in Sorrentino's Youth last year at Cannes.
Mm, okay.
And in my film, she plays the hard-to-get Rosalia, who Darren Criss, is smitten by.
All right.
Then James Remar plays Darren's father, and he's been in gazillion
mm-hmm.
movies.
Yes.
Sex
right.
in the City, yep. and on and on and on. And the rest of the cast and all of the crew are Italian.
Okay, oh, right. Also, it's a very authentically shot,
yes.
made in Italian right there.
It wasn't a matter of Hollywood coming in mm-hmm. and taking over. It was a little tiny bit of Hollywood coming in and making friends and saying, let's work together.
So what was your biggest challenge of, making this, for making, your first feature? What was, your biggest challenge of making this movie?
Weather,
yeah?
if you want to okay, know the truth. Right. Weather and light. A naive me, we set this film in this beautiful valley surrounded by mountains. Well, the sun comes up very late in the day when there are mountains there
mm-hmm.
and sets early. And so daylight, which is precious to filmmaking, was at a premium. So that was difficult. And we always had rainstorms come through in the middle of the day. So we had to have, alternative sets for everything. Every day we had to have multiple alternatives to how to shoot. Then language was something of a barrier with you got an entirely Italian crew. Not all of them spoke English, mm-hmm. so many did. So communicating often became a matter of me pantomiming, acting, basically using my hands as much as my tongue to communicate.
Did you have an interpreter over there?
Yeah, we did. We had dialogue coaches and everything.
Okay, you did,
But, when you're writing a movie, you're all alone in a room.
Oh,
when you're
okay.
directing a movie, you're all alone with 250 people, all clamoring with questions and needs. So it's hectic. It's very hectic. And we had 6-day shoots, 10, 12, 14-hour days. I'm not the youngest guy in the set, so it's grueling,
yeah.
to tell you the truth. But the good thing was we were in Italy, and so we ate like crazy, and we drank, and we sang,
Ooh.
And we danced, and we had a party almost every night or weekend at the very least.
Well, very nice. Well, the name of our site is called ThatMomentIn.com, and it celebrates iconic moments in movies, and that's what we talked about on the Cinema Recall podcast. So what I want to ask you, Mr. Morrow, is what was your favorite moment of shooting this feature?
Oh, I suppose probably the hardest part was maybe the big dance sequence at the end because it took many, many days, lots of different kinds of cameras, booms, steady cams, choreography, music. There's a lot to cram into a few days. And so that was the most challenging. My favorite moments were always the small, tender ones between characters. And I guess I'll never get too far away from, the drama where I started, because it's when characters reveal their pain, their hunger, their hurt, their humiliation, that's when I cry. You know, yeah. That's when I, and then laughs will follow. So,
all right,
yeah.
Well, again, thank you very much. Smitten is playing right now at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Film Festival. But after this, where can people see this movie?
Well, we're going to premiere it in Rome next, and then after that, the ink is still drying on our distribution deal.
Okay.
So, I mean, it'll certainly be streamed, and it'll be available in various ways. I can't tell you yet, the Vern.
Keep.
And that's why you and I have to continue to communicate.
We do. Now, just keep watch on the site, thatmomentin.com, as well as Cinema Recall Podcast, and I will give you updates about where to see Smitten once it hits theaters near you. But again, a big thank you to you, Mr. Morrow.
Yes.
For coming on the show. Appreciate it very much, sir.
Let me just say grazie mille.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Gracias as well. All right. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. All right. Thank you again to Barry Morrow for doing the episode with us. I really greatly appreciate that interview. All right, so that's going to wrap up this episode of the Cinema Recall Podcast. A big thank you to everyone there at the St. Anthony Main Theater and also part of the Minneapolis Film Society. Really appreciate that. In no special order, I want to thank Beth and Peter and Taylor and everyone, the staff there, Judd. Definitely want to give a shout out to everyone there. Really incredible group of people, and I thank them immensely for doing this with us. That's like I said before, most of the movies I reviewed on this episode, you can actually read full reviews of them over at thatmomentin.com, where I've actually articulated my words a little bit better there. But I just wanted to give listeners just a small recap of the films I saw at the festival. That is it right now for the Cinema Recall Podcast. We are going to be doing our show on Brooklyn. That's probably going to be our next episode is Brooklyn. And our guest for Brooklyn is going to be Audrey Fotz of Rated M for McPhail. And we're going to be discussing that feature. Anyways, let's finish up the show right now. Cinema Recall is found at thatmomentin.com. We're on Twitter at @cinema_recall. Facebook, just type in the words Cinema Recall. Our email is cinemarecall@gmail.com. I think that's going to wrap up everything right now. I hope you all have a great day. And we will talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.